Hello and welcome to The Inside Dish, where we explore the culinary, distillery, and the winery arts in and around the Lehigh Valley. I'm Mike Drabenstadt, host for your gastronomic tour of the region's amazing food and beverage scene. I'm here with Matt Reichard, who's owner of The Other Fish. It's a Japanese and sushi restaurant and a modern mainstay on East Broad Street in Bethlehem. Matt, welcome to The Inside Dish.
Appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
I wanted to bring you on the show when I saw on Facebook, I think a post that you made, that you were celebrating your 17th year of operating The Other Fish. And I want you to talk a little bit about that journey and what brought you to this point.
Sure, yeah. So I started in industry pretty young. I was 17 years old. I started as a busboy. We actually used to have a restaurant right here on Southside over on 3rd Street called The Dancing Fish. You know, I still remember the first day my dad asked the owner to give me a job. And first question I was asked is, can you move fast? And I was like, okay, yeah, I think I can do that. So I started as a busboy. And I feel like as a lot of people in this industry, probably about a month or two in, somebody told me to read Anthony Bourdain's Kitchen Confidential. And I was hooked. That's all it took. That's all it took for me. You know, read a couple passages, a couple chapters. And I was like, yeah, this is what I want to do.
Sounds like fun and
Yeah, so I did that for a while. They had a situation where a cook had walked out and asked me if I wanted to take a stab at it. So I jumped in and started cooking. And I mean, fell in love with the kitchen almost instantly. Like you said, it's chaotic and it's crazy. And it really struck me as like a 17, 18-year-old kid as something that was a lot of fun. So yeah, did that for a while. Unfortunately, we had to close Southside. The owner got sick, came down with cancer. But 7 months later, The Other Fish on Broad Street opened up. And about 2 years in, the owner just didn't want to do it anymore. She had had her run, and there was a family that was going to come in and buy the restaurant. And I really liked what I did. I didn't want to, you know, I didn't want to look for a new job. All my friends work there. So I made her an offer, and she took it. And 25 years old, March of 2009, I became the owner of The Other Fish.
And 17 years later, here we are talking about WDIY.
Yeah, absolutely. Right? Absolutely.
So it's interesting that you didn't kind of go into a professional careers thing. I'm going to get into food, get into hospitality, get into being a chef or a cook, let alone open a sushi restaurant or Japanese restaurant.
Sure.
To that point, though, did you remember your first experience with sushi or with Japanese food and what that was like?
Yeah, absolutely. So I was definitely not really up on Japanese food. I was a pizza and burgers kind of kid. And they had an event over at the Dancing Fish and tried some of it there and loved it. But stayed away from the sushi. You know, the raw thing kind of scared me. You know, wasn't really sure what to make of it. So teriyakis and fried chicken, katsu, stuff like that. Easier to manage as somebody who's never had the food before, right? My first experience ever with sushi, and I tell this story a lot at the restaurant, one of my coworkers who's still with me to this day, Yuri, he made me try eel. First experience ever, never had sushi before, and it scarred me a bit. I don't think I had sushi for years after that because I was like, oh, this just isn't for me. And then I found the one thing that I really liked. We did a deep fried roll over there. I mean, go figure, deep fried roll, right? That opened up my world. I was like, you know what? This is really good. Really, really good. And then little by little, I just started opening up to it. And now I make it for a living.
It was your gateway drug.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Sushi, right? Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
In your opinion, what makes Japanese cuisine distinct from other international cuisines, even other Asian cuisines?
You know, I think Japanese cuisine is very clean, and it can be very clean. They're very much about respecting the ingredients. You know, we do things a little different sometimes over there, but at the end of the day, especially when it comes to sushi, I mean, it's a piece of fish and some rice, and that is what shines in what you're doing. I know Japanese purists, a lot of times, you don't want a lot of sauces. You don't want a lot to kind of distract from the quality of the fish and the quality of the rice that you're serving. So I think the simplicity of it is kind of what maybe can make it stand out a little bit from, like you said, from like other Asian cuisines.
And how do you kind of reconcile, I guess, the balance between some of that traditional viewpoint of sushi and I think some of the more Americanized or more exotic versions where sushi's kind of a creative platform?
Sure. Yeah. I think the best way to do it is kind of offer both. And that's kind of what we do. You know, we have a very eclectic menu, everything from your most basic sushi rolls, your most basic pieces of fish to, I mean, we do some things with like Fritos and peanut butter and rolls and, you know, just kind of try to put our spin on things to kind of stand out a little bit from the other places.
And what are some of those favorite rolls that that have been mainstays on the menu?
Yeah, I mean, man, so we have one that we've had since Southside here that we call the Bobby Knight, which is just salmon and cucumber on the inside, a little avocado and lemon on top. And it's just very pure, very clean, you know, very refreshing. And then, you know, we have some other ones. We have a spicy tuna and shrimp roll that we put Fritos in. And I mean, it sounds wild, but the crunch and the salt and the mixture of the sweet with the sauces that go on it, I mean, it works. You know, it really works. So we do really run that gamut from very clean and very natural to things like that. Yeah.
And you have both raw sushi and cooked sushi for those that might still be a little squeamish for whatever reason.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we a couple of years ago switched our menu, and it's very clear. One side is all raw, one side is things that are cooked. And like you said, it's maybe, especially somebody's first introduction, a little bit easier to lean towards the things that I say cooked as in not raw. You know, it makes it a little bit easier to mentally get over for a lot of people.
And other items on the menu besides sushi?
Yeah. We do a whole slew of small plates, dumplings. We make ramen in-house. Our ramen noodles are made from scratch. Our stock is made from scratch. We got into that maybe 8 to 10 years ago. Other noodle bowls. And then, you know, soups, salads, stuff like that.
So yeah. Getting back to sushi, sure. What makes sushi superior in your opinion? The fish, is it the rice, and what kind of happens with the rice to make things a little special?
Sure, yeah. Personally, this is obviously just my opinion, but I think the rice is the most important part of sushi. If you get the rice wrong, then everything else just kind of doesn't harmonize, I guess, the same way. I had an amazing teacher, Jay, the gentleman that taught me to make sushi. His rice was unbelievable. And a tough teacher. There was days where I came in when I was learning from him with notes that just said, make the rice. No instruction. I mean, if I messed up, you know, we had to go about it again. But I think that is the basis. That's where you start with sushi. It's just if your rice isn't cooked properly, if it isn't seasoned properly, it doesn't quite work with everything else.
And not to divulge your secrets, but what does seasoning the sushi rice mean? What sort of things go into that?
Sure. Rinsing and cleaning the rice is very important. You want to get, you know, as much of the starch off it as possible. So I have a pretty rigorous process for cleaning my rice. And then the seasoning is just a combination of rice vinegar, salt, and sugar. My process from beginning to end is about an hour and a half every day, just making the rice between washing and letting it rest and cooking and all that. It's pretty intensive, but it really makes a difference.
But in addition to having the right flavor, it needs to have the right texture.
Absolutely.
The right stickiness
as well. Yep, absolutely. Yeah, the right stickiness, the right texture. It's pretty wild. You know, you see the difference in the seasons. When it's very humid in the summer, maybe I have to add a little bit less water because it'll come out too sticky. In the winter, when it's dry, a little bit more water. And the tiniest little bits really do make a difference in the process.
So I've heard interviews with sushi chefs who say they treat their knives with the same reverence that samurais treat a sword.
Sure.
And I'm wondering if that's the case with you or if you have special knives that you use.
Sure, I do. I absolutely do. I try to keep the motto of tools, not jewels in my head. Because I use knives all day, they get dinged up, you know, things happen. I try not to take that to heart, but I do try to take care of them as best I can, and I have too many. I'm definitely a collector of knives. I probably have 8 or 10 at the restaurant behind me, you know, just ones to pull from, but absolutely taking care of them, getting them sharpened. You know, we sharpen in-house, and then we have a guy who every couple of months will do a real clean edge on them for us, and yeah, I mean, a sharp knife is very, very important.
Right. Let's talk a little bit about the availability and price of quality fish and seafood. Sure. Certainly, you know, there's some fish stocks and fish availability that is questionable or things that are getting expensive. How does that affect a small restaurant like yours, and how do you manage all that?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely something that we deal with pretty often. Prices over the seasons, over the year, ebb and flow. I'm very lucky. The fish company I use out of Philly, I've been dealing with for almost 20 years now. So I have a very, very good relationship with them. Like you said, things go up and down, and it's tough. And sometimes you don't expect it. You know, maybe 1 week you're paying X amount, and then the next week it's $3-4 a pound more. And I adjust prices, you know, the way they have to. I never want to price people out. And I think availability to everybody is very important. So I'll price accordingly. But there are times where, you know, you kind of maybe, oh, I can't get this week. It's a little high, or change to a different kind of fish, something that's comparable. And yeah, I mean, it's just something that happens, unfortunately. You know, we dealt with it years ago when the tsunami hit Japan. It was the first time I ever really saw the really big spike in Japanese products. I mean, obviously the pandemic, you know, prices went up. So, you know, it's just the uncertainty of the industry. You just kind of roll with it and do the best you can, you know?
And how many seats are in the restaurant? What kind of vibe in there?
Sure. So it's very small. It's a little 20-seat restaurant. We have a 10-seat bar, three little two-tops, and then one table that seats a little bit more. In the summer, we do the program through the city with the parklets. So nice. We add another 20 seats. So that ups us to 40. But very tiny, open-air kitchen. You sit at the bar. We are directly on the other side of you, cooking, making your sushi right there. So you get to see everything. There's no hiding. No hiding in the restaurant.
And how about the balance between eat-in and takeout and even some of the delivery apps that you may or may not be on?
Sure. So I don't do any of the delivery apps. I used to. I got away from them actually right around COVID, just after COVID. But we have a delivery guy when he can get out. You know, he's also our kind of like jack of all trades, helps out where he can. I would say we're probably 30% takeout, 70% dine-in. Okay. Definitely more dine-in. But we do a really good takeout business.
Well, sushi travels pretty well.
Travels very
compared
well.
Compared to fried foods or things like that, right?
Absolutely. It travels very well.
Yeah. After 17 years, what's next?
You know, I'm not really sure. I think about it a lot. I'm very happy where I am. I enjoy what I do. I love the spot, the vibe. Or, you know, our customers are amazing. I think about expansion. The building that we're in is quite old. And there is going to, I'm sure, one day going to be a revitalization of that block. And, you know, we'll kind of cross that bridge when it comes. But, you know, I'm happy doing what I'm doing. I'm not in this to be a millionaire. I've never been in it for the money. You know, I like what I do. I like serving people and making people happy. And so long as I can keep doing that, we'll just go day by day and see what comes next. Well, you know?
I think with the 17 years, I think people would say
sure,
you're doing a good job.
Sure. Yeah, I appreciate that.
Matt, do you have any online website, social media people could check out?
Sure. Just Facebook, The Other Fish, and then Instagram is The Other Fish 610. That's all we do. You know, all our pictures, specials, all that kind of stuff go up there. Menus are up there, so easy to find.
That's great. Matt, congratulations on the anniversary, and thanks for joining us at WDIY.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me in.
I'm Mike Dravenstein. This is The Inside Dish.